right, it's time to jump in our local music TARDIS and head back to the land that time forgot. Ross Chisholm is at the wheel, his thick and lustrous beard blowing in the breeze out the window. He's with us. Hello.
Thick and lustrous beard. It's a bit of bump fluff. I haven't shaved for a little while.
Welcome. It's 3 years. It's 3 years that we've been doing this.
Yes, I know.
I just discovered that. I just realised.
She doesn't keep a track of it. I can't believe she doesn't keep a track of it.
I'm a mess. Welcome back. Hey, Pines was great. You were there. I was there.
Yep.
You weren't there all day.
No.
But
I was lugging beer.
Yeah, I'm going to ask you the question that you told me not to ask you. What was your favourite?
I didn't have any favourites. Some sets set me back a bit. Let me put it that way. Because, Bolt Gun, because...
Yeah.
I sort of knew where they were going, but it was all atmospheric for a while, and then suddenly, bang, it hits you. And I think they played one piece for the entire set. I really do like that idea.
It was great. The gong was brilliant.
Yeah, I was sort of expecting the gong to burst into flames when they did it. But and the other one was Furchick. They weren't my best, but they were different.
Yep.
It's not like a band gets on stage and plays a bunch of songs and then finishes. But it was a performance.
Absolutely. And so for anyone who wasn't there, Furchick, Claire Pannell,
a cast of thousands.
And a cast of all these musicians that she'd gathered together to make the Furchick Orchestra improvising
yep.
on just like slinkies. And there was someone playing a doll. I don't know how.
Yep.
There was some amazing stuff happening on stage. And she was conducting. It was brilliant.
That was because I saw it right at the beginning and I'm thinking, where is she? And she was in the front trying to get it all happening. If it reminded me of anything, it was Brown, who did the similar sort of thing as well. Interestingly enough, one of the main people from Brown, which is Adam Burgess, was also in Furchick for this particular performance.
I see. All coming together.
Yes, and there were a lot of other interesting things. Seeing the Mukazaki umpire thing and talking to Dan afterwards and going, it was going great until this little bit of equipment went bleh. And it just didn't happen. So it was good to see them on stage again.
Yeah.
I think Jeff hadn't been on stage for 2.5 years or 2 years or something like
that.
And I think Adam Burgess hadn't been on stage. So there was more mature musicians coming back and playing as well.
It was so great. It was a really good one. A good Pines all round.
Yes.
I loved it. Yeah.
So only... 360-something days to the next one.
Now, Pines is good for you because you get to catch up with people and connect some dots.
Or ask some questions.
Ask some questions and do some research. You were there scurrying around.
Yes.
Doing some stealth research.
Pen in pocket but didn't actually bring it out. I'd already decided to do this next band and lo and behold, one of the people in the band was there. So
excellent.
I went up and went, oh, this is happening on Tuesday morning. I've got these questions for you. I didn't know he was going to be there. It just happened that way.
Who are we talking about?
We're talking about Love Camp 7. Caitlin isn't familiar with the band or how they got their name. So I'll give you there was little background to them musically before they came together. I will tell you that Mike Wafer, who was on vocals and guitar, had met Chris Agostini, who was then a guitarist, while they were in high school in Karratha. And then Mike had moved back to Perth, where he had met Anthony Lorino,
mm-hmm.
Who became the bass player and vocalist. And then when Chris moved back to Perth, they got together. Except Chris then had to play drums because they had a guitarist and a bass player already.
I'm so confused already, Russ.
It's
That's
three
okay.
piece.
It's okay.
Three
it's
piece.
All right. It's all right.
Okay.
Keep going.
So they had to come up with the name.
I'll catch up. Yeah.
So they came up with Love Camp 7. Now, Love Camp 7 was a 1969 American women in prison Nazi exploitation B movie. It ticks all the boxes. It was bad taste. In fact, it was apparently the first of the women in prison and the Nazi exploitation movies to come out.
I can't believe they're genres. It just blows my mind.
So it was a B movie, and because it was the first of its type, it's now become a cult classic.
Mm-hmm.
At the time, it would just be tacky, but now, because it was the first, it's a cult classic.
Of course, of course. I'm sure it's in many a collection out there.
It's probably
for good or bad.
Yeah. I've got the VHS tape.
Oh, I bet. Oh, don't even. There'll be people out there who've got it.
Okay. Live Camp Salmon started gigging. They actually played their debut gig in May of 1997 at the Shenton Park Hotel. It took them a while to get their second gig. There was tongue firmly in cheek, as you might gather from their name. Some of the other venues they played at, let's see, the Ozone Bar, which used to be in Northbridge, Coakley's in Fremantle, Seaview Tavern in Fremantle, Newport in Fremantle, although I don't think they were a Fremantle band. We've had this discussion before. What's a Fremantle band? And their first release was actually a cassette called Chicka Chicka. Came out in May of 1998. They launched it at Coakley's, and it cost them $20 to actually get it together.
Because
it was home recording.
How DIY is that? I love it. It's brilliant.
Yeah. So I think they charged $20 for 20 songs or 18 songs or whatever, and it cost them $20. So every time after the first person bought it, they'd made back their recording costs.
Good margins on that.
Oh, I know. released their first CD EP, which was called Oddly Slightway. And I will go into this in a minute. In November of 1998, they launched that at the Grosvenor. Yes, Oddly Slightway was a Jebediah piss take.
No, really?
Yeah. But they also did a parody of the cover of the first Jebediah. But smart boys that they are in Love Camp 7, they asked permission to do so.
That's nice.
From this particular CD EP, I've got to do it in... I can't do it in French. Le Smash aux Maniacs. And it's subtitled, it's French for Smash-O-Maniac.
Let's get into it. This is Love Camp 7 on RTRFM 92.1. The sounds of Love Camp 7 this morning.
From their Oddly Slightway CD EP, which came out in late 1998. And Le Smash aux Maniacs. What?
I might have to ask Claudio to correct your pronunciation when she's in after 8 this morning.
Well,
okay.
You do that.
That'll do for now.
The band kept gigging and recorded what would become their first album. Now, originally the album was going to be called Smell the Glove.
Gross. And I'm just imagining what that means. Why don't I know what that means?
This is Spinal Tap.
That's where it's from. I'm not going to Google it.
Do Google it.
For the scene?
For the explanation of what became the black cover, because what they couldn't put...
I haven't seen that movie in such a long time.
What they couldn't put on the original cover. But anyway, for whatever reasons, it didn't stay as Smell the Glove. It became Clean 'Em All, which is a piss take of Metallica's Kill 'Em All. Now, as they said in Mike Wafer's Facebook or face page, whatever, where he goes through he goes through the whole history of it, and he said that the band had a lot. By the time they recorded this, they had a lot of material, so it was a way of clean 'em all, which is cleaning up the. Okay, we're sick of playing that. We'll record it and then put it out, and then we can write some whole bunch of new songs.
They were clearing the decks.
Exactly.
Spring clean.
Yeah. Cleaning the decks.
Yeah.
Now the it took a little while for the album CD to come out. In the meantime, Ant had to take some time off the band. Real life stuff gets in the way, you know. It's all very well going out and playing in bands, but real life catches up with you. So they needed a replacement bass player. And I'm going to try and pronounce his surname, Yanni Pakenfarkas, who was a guitarist with Billings Method, I think it was. And he came in for a little while. And it was during that period that he was in that the Clean 'Em All CD came out. And then just as it came out, Ant came back into the band.
Okay.
And... but we're going to take a track from that first album. This is what, when I did say they were clearing the decks, this is a song that had been around since their very earliest days. This is Your Mother Poses Nude in My Art Class.
What a statement. To clarify, that's a song by Love Camp 7. If you've got any Love Camp 7 memories, maybe you got one of their releases, maybe you got that Chicka Chicka cassette, get in touch with us, studio at rtrfm.com.au. On RTRFM 92.1, a couple of tracks from Love Camp 7. We're on the land that time forgot this morning with Ross. What did we just hear?
First we heard Your Mother Poses Nude in My Art Class, taken from their debut album called Clean 'Em All. And then after that, their version of the Ramones, Sheena is a Punk Rocker, which came from a Ramones tribute album they had a hand in.
Oh, really? Was that of, like, WA artists?
No, I think it was an American compilation, but they were on it.
Yeah.
And I've never heard Mike Wafer's voice that gruff.
I love it. It is very gruff, isn't it?
And did I hear cowbell in there? I'm sure I heard cowbell on a Ramones cover.
That was good.
Unbelievable. Okay, let's see. Well, I think we're up to early 2000.
Yeah,
Ant had rejoined the band, but soon after, on bass and vocals, but soon after he'd rejoined, Chris gave notice that he wanted to leave because he wanted to focus on guitar.
Yep.
But that meant, oh, what are we going to do? Because they'd already made plans to record their second album, and it was sort of agreed, well, one person agreed and someone else disagreed, that when they recorded their second album, Chris would do the drums on it because he'd already done the drum patterns. So it's like, well, you want to get someone else in and they're going to use my drum patterns? It's like, so they began recording what would be their second album, but it didn't end up happening because basically the band broke up. Although Chris had left, they actually needed a replacement drummer to fulfill contractual obligations, as they say. So Anthony Milne came in on drums. Now, he'd played in a band called Grey, but a number of years beforehand, but they only played two or three gigs with him on board. But they had done some recording for their second album, and it was going to be called A World of Perfect Harmony, apparently.
But did it not happen?
No. one press report says they ran out of money, but I think they ran out of inspiration because the original three-piece wasn't happening. So they went their various ways. They were, Mike and Anthony were going to head to Melbourne, but in the end only Mike went to Melbourne and stayed for a couple of years. Then he came back to Perth, teamed up with Anthony again, and then got a new band happening, which was Whitechapel, which also included Chris in the band. And then that had a release. That broke up, and Mike and Ant kept on going with the Order of the Black Werewolf, which also had Chris in it for a while, and then he left, and they kept going, had a couple more releases, and that got knocked on the head about 2 years ago. Since then, Mike has been enjoying not playing music, although as of Saturday, he is looking to start rehearsing with a couple of new guys. Ant is between commitments at this point in time. Chris Agostini is not in a band, but is still involved in putting music together for assorted soundtracks, surfing, films, all that sort of stuff. Yanni took a long time off the music scene, but I believe he's back as well. And Anthony Milne went on to join the Nordines and technically is still part of the Nordines, although the Nordines are spread throughout Australia. So when everyone's in the same city at the same time, they may or may not gig. And that sort of brings us up to date, apart from that mysterious second album, which they never...
Yeah.
Apparently there's a lot more recordings that have come out because they owed a label some material, and that's in part why they did some recordings. But only a couple of tracks have turned up so far. Apparently there's some very good material out there, but just
hasn't seen the light of day.
No.
What are we going to go out with?
We're going to go out with one of the tracks from the compilation. And the compilation was called I Don't Want to Be the One to Say. And this track is called Creature from the Black Latrine.
Perfect. Ross.
Love Cam 7.
Thank you very much.